MyAudiobooks.ai presents The 20-Minute Window, Inside the Alleged Iran War Insider Trading Probes. On April 17, 2026, at roughly 20 minutes before Iran's foreign minister announced that the Strait of Hormuz would reopen to commercial vessels, someone placed a $760 million bet that oil prices would fall. When the announcement hit, crude dropped 11% in minutes. The trade was not a guess. It was positioned, sized, and timed like information. 3 days later, Congressman Richie Torres of New York sent a letter to the chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission that is now the central public document in what may become the largest war profiteering investigation since Iraq. The letter does not accuse anyone of a crime. It does something more dangerous. It lays out a pattern, in writing, and asks the government to explain it. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. During our research into the congressional letter itself, the documented trading pattern behind it, and the long paper trail of war market investigations that came before, we found a story about what the law actually says when state secrets meet futures markets, why the same window of minutes keeps appearing on the tape, and how America has answered this exact question three times before, with three very different answers. Section 1. The Letter and the Tape. The Torres letter, dated April 20, 2026, is a model of careful wording, and its care is the story. The congressman writes that investors executed a roughly $760 million bet on falling oil prices approximately 20 minutes before Iran's foreign minister publicly announced that the Strait of Hormuz would be fully open to commercial vessels, and notes that these repeated instances raise serious concerns about whether certain market participants are gaining access to material non-public information related to sensitive diplomatic or military developments. The letter then does the thing that elevates it from a press release to a document. It itemizes the pattern. A $500 million position reportedly placed on March 23rd, minutes before a presidential announcement delaying military action. A $950 million bet ahead of a ceasefire announcement tied to April 7th. The $760 million trade of April 17th. Each time, the direction was the same, short oil, and each time the announcement that followed moved the market exactly the way the position required. Total documented size of the questioned trades, per subsequent reporting, over $2.5 billion, a quarter of a billion-dollar conviction expressed in oil contracts. The CFTC, the letter notes, is already investigating the March and early April trades, and the Department of Justice has reportedly opened its own probe. Torres asks the commission to expand its investigation to assess whether any United States persons, including government officials or people in the president's orbit, had advanced knowledge, and to provide a public update. Every sentence carries allegedly mechanics. Raise serious concerns. It is reasonable to question. The possibility cannot be ignored. Nothing is claimed as proven. Everything is claimed as pattern, which is exactly how these cases begin. Section 2. What the law actually prohibits. To weigh the allegations, you have to understand the strange legal terrain they sit on. Classic insider trading law was built for corporate information. An executive learns earnings early and trades his own stock. But the commodity markets run on a different code, and the information here is not corporate, it is sovereign. The advanced knowledge in question would be the content and timing of government announcements, war decisions, ceasefires, the opening of a strait. The legal hooks that prosecutors and the CFTC can reach for are real but narrower than the public assumes. The commodity laws prohibit fraud and manipulation in connection with futures trading, and a 2011 rule, born of the financial crisis and modeled on insider trading doctrine, bans trading on material non-public information misappropriated from a government employer. Federal employees are separately bound by statute from using confidential government information for private gain. But notice what the law requires. Not merely that someone traded before news, but that the information was obtained or passed in breach of a duty. A diplomat who tips a trader breaks the law. A trader who simply reads the diplomatic weather better than everyone else does not. The Stock Act of 2012 is the closest precedent for the category, and its history is a warning about how these fights go. passed after a television exposé showed members of Congress trading stocks on legislative knowledge, it barred exactly that, explicitly extended fiduciary duty into the halls of the Capitol, and then spent the following decade being defanged in practice, with disclosure violations running into the hundreds and penalties measured in hundreds of dollars. The statute proved the principle that sovereign information is protected property. Its enforcement record proved the counter principle, that the people who write the rules tend to write the exits too.
That gap is the entire gray zone, and it is wider than almost anyone who comments on these stories understands. Washington is a machine for generating advance signals, briefings, staffers, cables, calendars, and the boundary between superior analysis of public information and a leak monetized is drawn not by the market but by proof of the breach. The allegations in the letter will live or die on whether investigators can trace the information path, not merely the timing. Section 3. The pattern recognition problem. The hardest question in the whole affair is the simplest. How many minutes of foresight is too many? Oil futures are among the most heavily traded contracts on Earth, and every desk in the world was watching the Strait of Hormuz in the spring of 2026. Large short positions before announcements are not inherently suspicious. The entire options market is a machine for pricing the probability of exactly such events. Skeptics of the probe note that in a market staring at one choke point, a surprise reopening is precisely the scenario every risk model carries. What investigators actually do with a pattern like this is worth understanding, because it is less cinematic and more forensic than the movies suggest. The Commission's Surveillance Division holds order-level data, every account, every timestamp, every size change, that no journalist ever sees. The first cut is mechanical. Flag the accounts that established large directional positions inside the window before the announcement and closed or rode them through the move. The second cut is relational. Do those accounts share a broker, a fund, a beneficial owner, a phone number? The third cut is the one that makes cases, the information map. Who knew the timing of the announcement before it happened? And do any of those people touch any of those accounts by so much as a degree of separation? Timing alone is a screening tool. The case is made by the intersection of the tape and the calendar. But the documented pattern has features that experienced investigators describe as fingerprints. The size, for one. These were not hedges, but $100 million directional bets. The compression, for another. Positions reportedly established 20 minutes before the announcement, which is the signature of someone who knows not just that news is coming, but when. And the repetition. One well-timed trade is luck, two is a strategy, and three, in the same direction, on the same theme, within weeks, is the kind of sequence that turns a compliance review into a criminal probe. Nothing here proves anything. Everything here is the shape that proof takes when it exists. Section 4. We have done this before. The allegations land in a country that has run this exact investigation three times, and the historical record is the best guide to what happens next. In 1991, after Iraq's invasion of Kuwait sent oil screaming, Congress ordered the Government Accountability Office to dissect the futures market for manipulation. The GAO's answer, after months of trade-level analysis, was anticlimactic and important. Prices had moved on supply and demand. No manipulation was found. The lesson: sometimes the tape is honest, and the investigation that finds nothing still serves the public. There is a fourth precedent worth naming, and it is the one where manipulation was proven all the way down. In the California energy crisis of 2000 and 2001, traders at Enron and a string of merchant energy firms ran named strategies, with internal code names like Death Star and Get Shorty, to manufacture congestion, game the day-ahead market, and hold a state's power supply hostage. The paper trail ended in convictions and clawbacks, and it took years of forensic work on internal tapes and emails to build. The lesson from that case is the one hanging over the current probe. When the manipulation is real, it is provable, but only if investigators get inside the firm's own records, and only if someone decides to look. The second precedent is darker. In the Iraq reconstruction, the Special Inspector General documented a universe of overbilling, the $279 fuel deliveries that cost $82 worth of fuel, the $100 million write-ups, where the manipulation was not of markets, but of contracts, hidden behind the fog of war and proprietary markings. The lesson: when the fog is thick enough, the extraction happens in the paperwork, not the pit. And the third precedent is the oldest. In 1941, a senator named Harry Truman ran a committee that hauled war contractors into public hearings and clawed back hundreds of millions in profiteering, proof that the country has, at least once, decided that war windfalls are a matter for handcuffs and not just headlines. The Truman Committee's power was not legal novelty. It was publicity with subpoenas. It put the contracts on the record, named the numbers, and made the extraction expensive to continue. The lesson: the outcome depends on whether anyone with subpoena power decides the pattern deserves a name, and whether the hearings are held in daylight. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial or investment advice. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. Section 5. What to look for next. The first signal is whether the CFTC answers the letter with a public update. The commission rarely comments on open probes, and a break from that silence would itself be a statement about the strength of the evidence.
The second is the identity question. Futures accounts are not anonymous to regulators, and if the trades trace to a small set of brokers or funds, the investigation narrows from the market to names. Watch for any subpoena reporting that identifies desks rather than amounts. The third is the information map. The decisive fact will be who knew the announcement timing in advance. Diplomatic cables, scheduling logs, and the small circle of officials who handled the announcement choreography, and whether any of those circles intersect with anyone positioned to trade. The fourth is the prediction market frontier that the letter does not touch but everyone in the probe is thinking about. The same war has been trading all year on offshore and onshore prediction markets, where accounts bet directly on strike dates, ceasefire dates, and strait closures. Venues where a well-timed contract on a war event looks even starker than a futures position. If the investigation widens from the commodity pits to the event contracts, it will be the first time insider information doctrine is tested against a market that exists to price the news itself. The fifth is the legislative track. Members of Congress are already barred from trading on non-public information under the Stock Act, and a scandal that touches officials rather than traders would revive calls to extend that regime's reach and teeth across the executive branch. The sixth is the tape itself. If large, well-timed, same-direction positions keep appearing before war announcements while the probes are open, the deterrent isn't working. If they stop, that silence will be its own data point. Each of these determines whether the 20-minute window becomes a case with defendants or a story with no ending. Section 6. The broader pattern and open question. The broad pattern is that markets have quietly become the fastest intelligence agencies on Earth.
A futures tape reads the probability of war more sensitively than most ministries, and that sensitivity cuts both ways. It makes markets prophetic, and it makes the possession of actual foreknowledge worth more than at any point in history. The closer the state and the tape sit to each other, the more valuable a 20-minute head start becomes, and the more the integrity of both depends on the head start being analysis and not access. When the state starts pricing the tape and the tape starts pricing the state's intentions, the boundary between them is the only thing standing between a market and a tip sheet. There is a second pattern, and it is about proof. Every era of American war has produced the same accusation, that someone, somewhere, is getting rich off the timing of the news, and every era has answered it differently. Exoneration in the Gulf, exposure in Iraq, prosecution in the 40s. The variable is never the suspicion. It is whether a document exists that turns the suspicion into a case, and whether anyone in authority is willing to read it aloud. Right now, the document is a congressman's letter and a pattern on the tape. The next document, an indictment, a compliance report, or a silence, decides everything. Which leaves the open question. In a war where the announcements move billions in minutes, who is allowed to know first? And if the answer turns out to be anyone but the public, what exactly is the market for? The letter is filed, the probes are open, the window is 20 minutes wide, and the whole world is watching what comes through it, including, presumably, whoever just made the trade. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations.
Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.